Welcome to the Art from Debris podcast.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Brad. We're friends, but more accurately, we are family.
We've been doing ministry together now for over 20 years.
We're grateful you are listening, but know that we are practitioners, not experts.
We're not trying to offend, but we're also not holding back.
And we are unashamedly Christocentric.
And we know we're broken.
But in all things, we continue to learn. What are we talking about inclusion today? What is it? How do you do it well? Can you overdo it? Can you oversimplify it? Who knows, man? We actually going to talk about inclusion, but looking at it in pop culture and trying to explore what it means for the missional Christian, the Jesus follower, the church that is trying to do it right today. Inclusion. Y'all, I'm glad you're jumping into this conversation with us. Before we go further, you know we got to clean the house. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't. Our episodes are coming out weekly, so subscribing will help you get those alerts so you can hear the episodes right when they drop. All right, that house is as clean as it's going to get.
Let's do it.
Go ahead, enjoy this episode. Inclusion.
All right.
We can just talk about it.
Yeah, we going to talk about this because off air, we just been talking about the old black genie commercial. I never seen it. You seen it. I've never seen it. But it got
us
just thinking
to
about
look it. Up. It couldn't find it.
I couldn't find it. But that led us to start talking about Black Cinderella, which I looked that up. They just had the 25th anniversary of that movie in 2022. So that was cool. But things like that. So, you know, there's things in media and pop, and we can maybe say pop culture overall, where, man, things are expected to be white, have always been white, and but then show up in like remakes or takes on things where now it's black. Now there's some black folk showing up. And you know, I might even expand that. Like, there's things that show up and where there are also not just non-white people that are portrayed. That just got us talking, and so it feels like this is going to be a very loose and flowing
it's
conversation. We're going to see. My goal in this conversation is going to be to get Jeremy canceled by the questions I ask him and the answers that he gives. So that's I'm just going to be trying to put you in a corner.
It's a good goal.
See what happens.
Always a good goal.
See what happens, man. but yeah, I mean, you talked about the old black genie commercial.
Yeah,
and then, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be able to find this commercial. They may have seen it because there's some people who say they seen it so much because it came on they seen a lot, but I'm not sure when the last time it aired.
I just remember, like, it's a forgettable commercial, except for in the middle of it, a genie pops out. These two dudes are talking, two black men, they're having a conversation, and then a genie pops out for some reason.
What's the racial makeup of these gentlemen?
I think they're both black.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
it. I think they're supposed to be African American, maybe, you know, black Hispanic. I don't know, but that's not necessarily clear. But the one dude reacts to the genie because the genie is black. Oh, it's a black genie! Like in the middle of their conversation, and then they go on to advertise the product. So the having a black genie doesn't seem integral to the commercial. It doesn't seem necessary. Making a comment about it doesn't seem necessary. To me, I found it hilarious. I thought it was funny because he was just like, oh, it's a black genie, you know? And so he's like surprised by it. He thinks it's amusing. And then they go on with the commercial. It almost seemed like it was an ad lib moment from the actor that they kept in. But to me, I thought it was funny. I thought it was great, you know, but it also brings up like, oh, right. There really aren't that many black genies portrayed, you know, like Will Smith, you know, just did his thing. But like, usually, I mean, other than Blue, you know, it's like, you know, most genies aren't really seen as being black, you know, maybe Arab, but kind of Middle Eastern descent.
Yep.
Anyway, yep. So it's just, I was just thinking, I was like, oh man, that's kind of interesting. Like, why'd they make that choice? Because I'm always thinking, man, when you do these commercials, people are making choices. They're not just accidentally being like, oh, hey, you know, come over here, brother. You know, we're going to dress you up like a genie. It's like they're making a choice. Like, we want, you know, and then the actor, sure. And they even kept it in the commercial, which it wasn't integral to the commercial. This comment that there's a black genie on the screen. And I just thought, man, that's interesting. Those are all interesting choices to me. Why are they doing that? Is it because the commercial is directly targeting the black community? So it's like, no, everything here has to like speak to, but then why does that speak to the black community? So if it's a commercial to the black community, again, that's a really broad term, black community, yep. You know, super diverse. But if it's really targeted to kind of black men in particular, why does having a black genie speak to them? Why does commenting on the black genie speak to them? You know, why would that be important to a commercial, you know, that isn't about blackness or black genies or anything around that topic? Because I'm going, this has got to, they want to sell something. Why does this sell something to what I assume black men is their target audience? You know?
So the question is, Jeremy, do you feel threatened by this? The blackness of this commercial and black media. Do you feel threatened? And how long have you felt threatened by black people? Let me ask the question properly. How long have you been threatened by black people in media?
In media. Well, my reaction to the commercial was to curl up in a ball and suck my thumb for half an hour. But I'm not threatened at all. No, it's not a problem.
You think so? Okay, but you know, this commercial and people and folk in black media, that is a question though. I think me and you talked about it. There are folk who think, man, all this representation, and it seems forced too on the nose. And at worst, people feel like, oh, they're, you know, they are taking over. And so
yep. Yeah, if you were to plot a spectrum,
do something about it.
Any representation is a threat to the status quo. Therefore, you're taking over, whatever that means. But it's just a disruption and a change. You know, maybe in the middle is like, okay, some of this is good, but some of this feels forced, or some of this feels like, what? Why are you really doing this?
And then some folk feel like, oh, it's just leaving out a whole demographic. And so if we go by the numbers, there white people make up a significant percentage of the population, and so to not have them represented means something. But it's one commercial, so usually people are responding to one commercial folk have made a choice. Now that might be stacked on them engaging a lot of other media that's making them respond to whoever's representing the commercial.
They're
responding
stuff.
To it. The Disney thing stuff where everything's getting reworked, re-imaged. You got Ariel was black, is black.
Yeah. Will Smith, the genie.
Will Smith was a genie, even though folk just know him as a black man. But in the movie, he's a blue genie, right? But we can go down the line. We just talked about Black Cinderella that was done years ago. And so these things happen. And so the question is, what's the significance of this? What's happening? Why does it matter? What's happening in our worlds when these things happen? So I know I actually want to talk about, why is that a problem in the first place? So I think about the story of when Hunger Games first came out, and the little black girl that everybody was in love with, and then she dies, and it's like tragic. And then there's like this Twitter trend of, I want to say it's all white people. I didn't look up everybody that said it, but white people talking about, you know, why does she have to be black? why is this character black? Yes. And yes, it's ridiculous, the uproar. It was ridiculous. Even if the character in the book was white, it just seemed ridiculous that people would go against her being right. black. But the character in the book is described as having darker skin. Like, it's in the book.
Yeah, in the source material.
In the source material.
So even that, that
little argument, black girl.
Like,
and then people still raging. So I'm like, what is happening in your world? What's wrong with your white people that mm-hmm. that when there is something that goes against what they think should be
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in media, there feels like an uproar. I want to get to the bottom of like this problem of representation and how it resides in cultures.
Yeah.
And then yeah. I think we got to get into some historical stuff. But from your perspective, what's happening, man? Why
reacting like this? I can't really speak for all the whites.
I need you to speak for all the whites. From we're going to speak from Wall Street to country.
Perfect.
To the hoods, to all of them.
All of them.
All of them, bro.
The backwoods.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, it reminds me of the Sixth Sense movie. Give me a second.
I'm going to let you get there.
Like something happens to a person that pops their racial bubble. Like it's either a conversation or they see something via politics.
Yep.
Or there's some kind of controversy with the police, but it's racialized. It's a racialized popping of their racial bubble. And because they're so embedded in a particular status quo, or they could just kind of pretend like all their culture is the normal culture or the only culture, when that bubble's popped, I think it's a form of like disillusionment. And now they can't help but see black people everywhere. It's like, I see dead people everywhere now, and they can't help but see it. And now they're just reading into everything. Now it's like an overcorrection. Now it's like every time a black person's on the screen, it's like, what? There's black people everywhere. It's like, there was always black people everywhere. What's wrong with you? But you've gone through some kind of like disillusionment where your culture is not the only culture. And it's so disruptive. And I think that would transcend, country, rural, educated, low education, probably some of that, where you're just in your lane, whatever your demographic is, as a white American, you're in your lane. That's normalized. That's true. That's, and all your best friends are black. That's what you say to people. Some of my best friends are black. Well, maybe, first of all, second of all, are they your friends because they're assimilating, because they make you feel comfortable? There's that dynamic, and that's usually so.
Are
so
they really your best friend?
Yeah, are they really your best friend? That type of thing. Have you had certain conversations with them? And I'm not even saying that all black folks want to have those conversations, or even should have those conversations. I'm just saying, like, white people just think they're my friend. And they make me feel comfortable, so it continues to support like my culture's normal, or my way of thinking is normal. So again, some kind of like event, political news event, personal event that pops that bubble, and now they just see it everywhere. Now it's just like if you ever got in a car accident, you start seeing car accidents everywhere. You start seeing them around the corner, even when they don't exist, even when the car is not going to hit you. You start jumping everywhere at car accidents, thinking a car accident is about to hit you, thinking a car is about to like come out the corner and blindside you. You start seeing them everywhere, even though most of them don't exist. But every once in a while, a car is trying to like, back into you or sideswipe you on the interstate, at least here in Tampa, driving like maniacs nowadays.
Well, I'm in Maryland, bro. And sorry, Maryland. Your driving ain't that much, don't get that much better. It might get worse.
It's a well, all the imports we got down here right now, so that maybe that's what's going on.
No, Florida is like driving in three different cultures at one time.
It's true. So. I think that's actually accurate.
But you know what? So it's interesting here in Maryland. Same thing. It's very diverse in the DMV area, and sometimes you feel like, oh man,
you feel it.
This person is driving with different rules. Okay, sorry. Go back. Yeah. Go on. So, get back to it.
So anyway, I think that might be some of it where all of a sudden it's like this girl shows up in this movie. She's actually a black character, but like you're seeing this everywhere now. Like if from I'm saying from that perspective of that person going, oh my gosh, like here, you know, they're just forcing, you know, black people or blackness or black culture into everything. But it's like, that's not a car accident. That's just a car driving normal. And that car was always there. And you just never saw it. You just never noticed it before. And now because you had some kind of event in your life, you now have like anxiety reaction to this car. Even though this car ain't doing nothing to you. Even though this car is not, you know. So it's like now you just see this stuff everywhere, even when it's not. So the problem with, I think one of the bigger problems, if I'm correct about that, is sometimes it does feel forced. Sometimes it's like it is a car trying to hit you, or it's like it's too much. Like is there a too much? Is there like a no? That's you're accurate. Is there a Farrakhan speech or where you're just like, eh, I don't know, man. That might be too much, you know. Like it's some you're seeing that, but then this little girl in this movie, she was great. That's not too much. That's totally appropriate. Like you're the problem, right? And now you have no way of telling. Okay, is this okay? Is this not okay? Like, I just always think of Coates, who basically his position is like no reconciliation. He doesn't want to reconcile. He doesn't want to have that conversation. He doesn't think it's possible. He thinks white people are a lost cause. You know.
Sorry, and that's it's funny to me because I'm like, oh yeah, that's part of the black psyche. Like if I had to, there's a few things that's just part of black psyche that exists amongst a lot of other thoughts. But it's like, oh, Coates, while it doesn't represent everybody's desire, it does represent the philosophies and things that fly through your mind.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely has to be a possibility. Yeah. You know, like we should consider this, you know, but he goes like on national television and says
sure, it's, sure.
You know, it's like, sure. It's like, whoa, like that's intense, bro. I hope you're not right about that. So all I'm saying is like the bigger problem is then this, these individuals, these people, these like communities that have had some kind of event, they've had their culture bubble popped. Yeah. Now they're seeing car accidents everywhere. Now they're seeing minorities representation everywhere. And now they have no idea how to process it or discern it from something that's like feels potentially wrong or like there may need to be more discussion about this to it's just a commercial. It's a black genie, man. It's like awesome. It's hilarious. It's a good commercial, you know. But you're now plumping them all together. All those conversations are in one conversation, which is like it's taking over the world or something like that. So then you're overreacting to it. Those are a lot of generalizations there, but I actually haven't had these conversations with anybody like freaking out over Ariel or Snow White or the genies or whatever. But if I would really want to get to that. Like what's going on with you? Like, are you're saying like you're seeing this everywhere. What do you really mean by everywhere? And where is this a problem to you? Like, where is this so disruptive?
Sure. Know?
Because
sure.
The black people have been here. They were always here. Like you're just now noticing or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then where does the real problem lie? And I would think what the problem lies that you're conflating all the representation and all the different forms of representation into one giant bucket, which yeah. then allows no nuance, no conversation, no discernment. It's just overwhelming.
Sure, sure.
That's my general.
I got you. Man, I love white.
That's my hot take.
White people crazy. I love them with the heart of God that is in me. But y'all be crazy sometimes, man. So this is why I say that. I think if I had to summarize everything I'm going to say, it would be white people crazy. But I love you. Y'all crazy, but I love you. Nah, but like I think about this and I'm thinking about a lot of different instances that in stories that I've had, stories that I've shared. So instances that I have experienced and stories that I have had shared with me with friends. The phenomenon of like being nervous on a plane when you sit next to a white child as a black person. Mm-hmm. Nervous not because you're scared of their sort of kind of fear. Nervous because of what you might have to say to that child and that child's parent. So comments like a child saying, "Oh, are they made of chocolate?" It's like, okay, how ignorant is your child? Like, you know, why, you know, it's like, how do you respond to that? So my thing is, I've heard stories of that happening in public. I'm just thinking, when Ariel comes on the screen, what is your child saying? And are you, the parent, just a mature version of your child's ignorance, right? And what I'm getting with that is, are you able to like see it and relate to it? Because it's what you have asked black children to do for years, especially little black girls, relate to the white woman, the white girl on screen, in the commercials, wherever, relate to that. Mm-hmm. And even you've asked the adults, relate to the white people using that product, relate to the white person in the protagonist side. Mm-hmm. And you've unjustly also said, relate directly, usually, to the villain, antagonist, or at best, sidekick, or magical black, Negro, Negress, however you want to put it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm thinking, if I'm thinking about Ariel, I'm like, what are the little white girls? Because it's interesting. On social media, there's a lot of shorts and clips of little girls seeing Ariel and saying, "Oh my gosh, Ariel's black." They're like with their mom and they're like celebrating as they see the trailer. And I'm just thinking, oh, this would be amazing. Like Saturday Night Live needs to do some kind of skit where it's the white girls responding to black Ariel just to see what's happening. Right. Because in my heart of hearts, what I hope for is celebration. Like, you should be celebrating when you see that on TV, when you see that in commercials. You should be celebrating because there has been a historical weight of evil that has tipped the scales in the wrong way, too much in the wrong way. And so this is probably one of the places where you have the least amount of personal effect on yourself. Like, you're giving up nothing. And yet there's this correction that's happening that's small, to be truthful. It's still small. Even though some people want to conflate and overly say, man, like, you know, you can't, you know, there's like, what's going to happen to white people? It's like, man, really, what's going to happen to them?
It's going to be okay.
It is okay. It's going to be okay. Now I have to take this seriously, because now we're talking about media. But I also see some of this coming up in academic spaces. I'm not going to that, but I just want to say, I say that I take it seriously and I care about it. And I have to think deeply about it, because while the media and pop culture piece for average people like me who are watching and responding to it, it costs me, as a white person, it costs you nothing other than maybe 30 seconds of an ad or a movie that you can or cannot watch. And yet it's tipping the scales. It It's like when Black Panther came out.
Yes.
That was significant. Now look, yeah. That's one main Black character. Like main, not corny, great Black character, right? Now we had Falcon. God bless him. But he wasn't the main. Captain America was the main character.
Yes.
And I'm not by Black Panther. By the time we came to Black, what happened?
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying.
Pecs were the main character.
Oh gosh. See, y'all, this is what happens when you're friends with a white guy. You're making a point, and one of the things he has to say. Is a white man's pecs our main character? He has to say it. Anyways, I told you I'm trying to get him canceled.
I know.
Black Panther.
But that was significant though. That when that came out, man, that was like
it was amazingly significant. And I'm just like, for the first time, there was like an actual cool, very capable Black hero in the Marvel universe that they portrayed on screen within a great movie. And even that, I'm like, that was one Black character amongst, well, who we had by then? Iron Man, Star-Lord,
a bunch of them, yeah,
Captain America, mm-hmm. You know, you go down the list, Spider-Man, like all these. And so now finally we got that, you know, mm-hmm. But the original reason I bring it up is there was a celebration. Like we celebrated that, like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we celebrated that it was an all Black cast. We celebrated mm-hmm. that it was a Black director. That movie I celebrated because I was just like, I'm not trying to give it more credit. Like it's, I'm not doing the Obama effect with that movie where it's like, we made it, right? The movie's right, here. We made it. Yes. But what I am going to do is say we are at a certain place where this is in mainstream pop culture, and that means something. I can now have this movie in my house and say, hey son, let's watch this, and it's an actual good movie, and we can watch it together. So you know that it used to be things like, I don't know, the first movie that came to mind, I'm like, I used to have watched Amistad for like a strong, like strong Black character. It's like, it's nice to have more. And so, you know, this, you know, so for me, I'm like, for the years of propaganda and media that has misrepresented people of color, when you have mm-hmm. things that come out that correct that, like we should be praising that, right? Instead we find ourselves in that phenomenon that is captured in a quote that I've heard that is not my own, that says everybody knows there's racism but nobody's a racist, right? And so that's what we find. So mm-hmm. you know, nobody's a racist, but why is so many Black people on TV, right? Nobody's a racist, but what is your child doing when they see a Black hero? Mm-hmm. Nobody's a racist, but don't put that Black character in Hunger Games. Don't put that Black little girl. Don't make us fall in love with her. Like, you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. That's the thing that gets me. And so I will hope for celebration, because for me, I'm like, and so like you, I won't speak for the whole of Black America, African American yeah. America. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all my Caribbean, African national, Latin Black folk, my mixed multiracial Black folk, but I'm talking for African Americans. Mm-hmm. Well, me as an African American individually, to give some insight into that culture, but mm-hmm. as a African American man, these things happen, and it's me and you talked about this. I'm in a different world, so people are kind of raging against it, and that's just part of the world. So it's funny that, you know, we sit the old black genie, something like that. Even though I haven't seen the commercial, I hear you talk about it, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's funny. And we're responding to it, and there's things happening in response to it. And there's ways in which me as a black man, I engage pop culture and have conversation with other black men and black women about pop culture. And the other voices from white America comes in. And if I'm in that industry or in some kind of space where I need to engage it, I engage it. But it doesn't feel like it's a main part of my world, to put it like that. Yeah. It feels like my world's going on. There's ways in which we're responding to things, you know, saying yes to things and celebrating things. And then there's this other part of it. All right. Mm-hmm. And part of it. So on one hand, I say that's my world, but it's also a world that's pointing towards an ideal of what we should be and how we should be as people. Okay. How we should be able to celebrate each other, how we should be able to look at the disparities and the percentage of people and how disparities affect and overly affect certain populations of people. And we can look at that and say, this is what we should be. We can look for and say, that's what we should be. And we go towards that. And so in my world, I feel like my world is going towards that. And where we intersect, where we cross paths, is when those two, when I say worlds, I'm talking about anybody else's world. So and if I had to make it racial, like any other race's world, as you think about your people, you're going towards an ideal where we actually affirm and properly interact with each other, and that we're actually represented well and right. And when we go towards that, we're going to intersect in the places where we are doing it right. And that's what I'm pushing towards to. But my world, you know, when you're not doing it right, or you're not thinking well, when you're not celebrating, that becomes part of like my reality, but not necessarily a significant element that makes up my world. And I see people responding like that, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, y'all crazy. White people,
but I love you.
It's crazy, but I love you because I can see that what we're supposed to be, and we pushing towards that. Mm-hmm. And so, if you want to celebrate with me as we go there, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good word, the celebration thing. Is there a point where it's too much? Imaginable?
Let's talk about that.
Like, okay, so. I just thought of this one. There's a South Park episode, I guess, that showed up.
Yo, you're going to have all the good Christians, the good, proper high church Christians. Oh, they ain't going to listen to this no more. You just referenced South Park.
That's fine.
All right, man. Do your thing. Go ahead.
They got an episode called the Panderverse. Like, you're being pandered to. And it's the Panderverse, so it's like a multiverse, but it's pandering to diversity, equity, inclusion, and it's basically Disney's like basically just like running around. Cartman becomes Kathleen Kennedy, and basically just starts going on sets and yelling everywhere, like, put a chick in it and make her gay. Like that's his refrain, you know.
Oh my gosh, come on, man.
Bro, it's so,
and you're doing my job for me. You're gonna be canceled immediately after this goes up. Go ahead.
So, well, when it gets on South Park's radar, so okay, they're obviously South Park, so they're gonna
ultra satirical,
super extreme, and they're gonna push the edge on everything. But what again, I just thought of this. So this wasn't something premeditated, but I was like, oh, that's interesting. So part of what they're commenting on as comedians at an extreme way, they tore up Disney and they tore up Kathleen Kennedy. They're just like, no mercy, you know, is like, you're like pandering. You're actually not doing art, and you're actually not doing representation. What it's like, you're actually, it's a form of manipulation actually that you're doing to these audiences and to these demographics. Like it's, you know, some of the best comedy, I'm not saying this is the best episode or the best comedy, but some of the best comedy, you know, Dave Chappelle is like, where I'm going to say some really, really funny stuff and probably really inappropriate things. But just underneath all of that is this nugget that maybe you should chew on for a second. Again, there's a lot of stuff that you don't want to take seriously from Dave or from South Park or something. But I was like, is that true, though? Like, that's what it made me think. I was like, huh, that's interesting. They're saying something. They're commenting on some kind of cultural phenomenon. Is that true? Are people being pandered to? Is there manipulation that's actually happening in the form of representation? Because 20 years ago, I'd be like, that's impossible. Like that wouldn't be true. But I'm like, I don't know. Is that true now? Is that even? So first of all, the first question is that possible? Because I think what you're saying is, no, there should be celebration. And I think, yeah, when there's good movies and good art and there's like something just about it. And my goodness, put a black girl up in the tree in the Hunger Games. Like, what the frick? Like, that's awesome. This is not a problem. We should celebrate all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then is there some type of dark form of that? Like, where it's like, no, actually what's happening now is, manipulation is like almost too strong of a word, but it's, you know, like what South Park is saying, you're pandering, you're manipulating, you're forcing it. It doesn't make sense anymore. And it doesn't actually help people. It's not to be celebrated. And it's not about celebration of culture. It's about something else. It's about marketing, or it's something else. It's about basically making money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
People talk about value signaling, which can mean all kinds of things. So that's hard to define.
Sure.
Anyways, is that possible? And the South Park, like making a point, I mean, God forbid that Eric Cartman would make a point, but are they making a point? Like, yeah, it could go too far. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I guess that's possible. It's like, yeah, could it go too far? Hypothetically? Yes. Has it gone too far? Not in our lifetime, you know? Like, not yet.
Sure.
Or like, yeah, when you're manipulating populations for money, you actually don't care about said populations.
No. Yeah. You know, and I think, like, that's a part of it. I think that's a part of it, man. I think about, so I want to make sure I don't cater to the person who's upset about too many black people just because they want their world to be comfortable, right? Yes, so yes. I don't want to cater to that. And I think when you have something like South Park that makes this point broadly, and you're actually talking to multiple audiences, right? So I don't, you know, I just want to make sure that could be singled out to be like, oh, that's just South Park trying to really stay, you know, go with the audience that's super alt-right, who super right, super misogynistic, super whatever you want to call it. And so I just want to make sure I don't, whatever, like, I don't want to cater to that group. But so when I say, can it be too much? I think yes and no. Because I actually feel like there's this thing that happens. People make statements that go after something that is wrong. Simply put, I'll put it simply as that. And so they make statements for something that is wrong. And then that can evolve into action by more folk. And then if it gets big enough, it matures into trend. And once it gets into the trend, it's so far away from the initial power of it, the initial reasoning of it, that it gets
kind blown of lost,
up, right? So or... I think about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee.
Oh, that's a good example.
That was like statement. Then there was like a group of people doing it. And then it became this, it turned into this amalgamous thing where it's like, now Kaepernick is getting a deal with Nike and people are like, what? Then the NFL blackballs them, but then also starts running their own justice ads. And it's like, what? It's like everybody's trending to, and when you start trending, you're trying to appease a certain audience of people.
Yes.
And that's when you get away from, oh, wait, this was actually supposed to be something that was like, to start some action. And so while I still agree with the initial action and parts of the trend, I'm not saying the trend is bad. I'm saying parts of it that is actually trying to do it right. But it's so much that happens in that trendy space. So many tentacles to whatever the initial action was that it's hard to trace it, hard to just amen it, all of it, because there's so much to it. And so I think that happens. I think that happens with a lot of pop culture stuff. I feel like, you know, it happened with like the Cheerios commercial where the little girl was talking and later in the movie you realize, oh, it's a, I think she might've been talking, I forget what, I think she was talking to a black dad, and then the mom comes out and it's a white mom. And then it's like an uproar. And Cheerio, it was a very sweet commercial, but it felt,
Is it recent?
That was right around the Hunger Games era, like the Hunger Games stuff like that.
Hunger Games racism.
That era. But it was like, no, commercials and stuff had started making statements and people were venturing into those waters of like, let's show a biracial couple.
Yeah. Let's show. There's a lot of biracial couples in commercials now.
No, it's like now the trend, right? Yeah. So it's like, what's
this? Like everybody's biracial couple.
Yeah. I tend to appreciate when things are in the initial action stage, because that's the people who are making those steps are risking something.
They're risking, so
it's an actual statement. It's an actual statement. When you're making it in the trend, it's kind of like you're joining, but you're not risking anything, because most of the time when people are joining the trend, they're making calculated risks and tailoring things to fit a certain audience that they know is going to benefit them. Right. So and my best example is Black Lives Matter. It was like the initial roots of Black Lives Matter was a black woman standing up for her black friend saying, we actually matter. That grew into something that was like good and started to, and then it became this trend that people couldn't trace back to its roots and just, you know, vilified, demonized, couldn't see it for what it actually was, which was, oh, it's actually just a social conscious movement, but also then there's also connected to it. Now, because it was some of its founders that was doing it, but connected to it is this like institution, but then also institutions who connected with the social movement, not necessarily the main Black Lives Matter institution. But when you're in the trend mode, you're not trying to differentiate. You're just saying, you're just looking at a trend and saying yes or no, or you draw some kind of opinion. So that's why there's initial action and then a trend, and who knows what's happening in that trend. I think you have to find the goodness in that trend, like the
probably in the trend it becomes a firmer.
Definitely. So when you say too much, is it too much? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think you got to find what you can affirm and say amen, and what you can't. And so far be it for white people to be so hypocritical, say too much black people of color, when it's like people been saying that of white America for pop culture for years. Where we at? You know, where we at? You stacking us up in the prisons, but you're not putting us on TV, right? It's like, where we at? We know you can represent us. And so my thing is like, if in 100 years, white people are kind of like, you know, 100, 200 years, white people are totally not represented, then you should start talking. Because I'm like, you totally did not represent people for hundreds of years. And I'm talking about before TV. Like, there just was no representation on radio, whatever the thing was. It was like the people of color weren't represented fully. And America's maturity on race and culture as a whole is still, I mean, you're still in the infant stage. I'm like, you, the depth and complexity of, and I'm using this this phrase very liberally, but Asian, and sorry, because there's multiple cultures that have a lot of depth when we say Asian culture.
Yes, yeah.
So, but the depth of it is so complex and beautiful, and in America, widely, right, in general, we see maybe we see the tip of the iceberg, and maybe 1% of the tip of the iceberg of what that culture really is. Those cultures really are. And so I'm like, yeah, we're in infant stages when we talk about people of color. And so to say representation, I'm like, even what we're representing on TV, I get it that now I'm going to try to stay as simple as I can. Even on TV, the representation of a culture usually has to simplify the complexities of that culture. So if you're showing African-American church on TV, you're showing certain parts. You can't get into the depth and psychology of all that, right? It's too deep, too complex. And so my thing is, even with Asian culture, there's a few shows, a few, that have delved into the complexity of what it looks like to be Asian American here, and the culture that surrounds it. I mean, you watch Kim's Convenience, you watch Crazy Rich Asians, and you have a few other folk who have done things where it's actually representative of the culture and how that culture exists in the American culture. But not, you haven't seen all of it. You have not seen all of it.
No. And those are still broad brushstrokes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And the best. Yeah. And so, and that's just Asian American, Latino culture and all that, Caribbean culture.
Yeah.
And you talk about Native American culture, Native culture, man, it's so much that is not represented that we're trying to. Now, I would say we're trying to. And so, the thing is, if you're trying to go, like I said, you're trying to go to that world where it's like, oh no, actual good representation of everybody. And you're going away from like white culture and it being thoroughly represented, the depth of it, the history of, like, it's been thoroughly represented for years. And now you're making that shift to where like, oh, maybe we need to represent everybody. Of course, I think we're in an age where, there, it will feel like overcorrection in some ways because because it's necessary. Now, the problem that I do see is when overcorrection causes places where there actually needs to be equal representation to be missed. So when you miss opportunity to represent everybody in things like medical, things that have medical implications and health implications, things that have well-being implications. When you miss that in the commercial arena and the media arena, that's when I think, oh, we can't do that. Like, you don't want to overcorrect that. You know, you maybe you overcorrect in a Hallmark movie. Right. But when it comes to like medical things, I'm like, no, let's try to keep this as accurate as we can.
And you're referencing that a couple AIDS commercials, HIV medication commercials I've seen that I was like astonished because they intentionally included every kind of demographic and coupling, but not a heterosexual white couple. And I was like, oh, this was so intentional that you included everybody except a major population.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it just made me think, oh, I guess white couples, I mean, I'm joking. Maybe this is the South Park in me coming out. I'm like, oh, white couples don't get AIDS. That's cool.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Well.
I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not true. mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that that's not true. And
so you're saying white people are super race? That's what you guys don't, that's right. Jeremy.
You said I was going to get canceled. so it's, you know, yeah. So that, I think that's an example of like, okay, there's some type of like, maybe those commercial makers are caught in the trend of the thing. And they're missing the heart of the thing. It's not just about representation. And then therefore the representation is the, to the exclusion of.
Yeah.
Because I think that's also some, it's like, we want to include, we want to celebrate, we want to demonstrate, which also means you got to share the pie.
Yeah.
But maybe the trend or the overcorrection would be to the exclusion of. And that seems to me like an overcorrection. Now, I think a lot of folks, they start freaking out because their status quo gets shifted a little bit. They have to start sharing some of the pie, and therefore they conclude we're being excluded. But it's like, no, you're not being excluded. We're just sharing the pie.
Yeah.
There's no exclusion. But then I saw that it was two of them. There's two of them out there, these AIDS commercials. And I was like, they ain't no white heterosexual couple here. Like, in two different commercials, I was like, that's weird. I think that's weird. I don't know. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm the racist, you know? And, but I thought that was astonishing to me. I was like, that seems to be a different heart than like, no, man, let's represent, let's celebrate, let's include, let's share the pie. Thing.
You gotta give them that half a second at least, like a quick glimpse.
That's right. Just a quick glimpse.
You gotta be the main view, but a quick glimpse.
They can be in the background. That's right. Even then, because I saw these commercials over and over again. Because sometimes, like you see them on whatever. I was watching like ESPN or something like that. It's like the same commercials keep on coming on, and I'm like. So I got to like really one in particular, I got to watch. I was like, I'm watching this one. I was like, what is going on in this commercial?
Oh my gosh. Our world's been flipped. Like you like watching closely. Like I'm trying to look for me.
I was like, what? So anyways, so that seems like a different thing. And I do know there's advocates, even kind of like, white people that will call themselves like white advocates or whatever advocates, that I think that is their interpretation though of celebration and inclusion is to the detriment or the exclusion of majority culture or white culture or something like that. And that does seem like that's a slippery slope. Do we have to acknowledge and say freely, no, we have to share. There has to be a sharing here.
Yeah.
And like that, we have to go back to kindergarten. Like, we should share, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean you can't eat the whole package of M&Ms? Yes, you can't eat the whole entire package of M&Ms. but you could get a couple, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get the whole package anymore. You get a couple, but it does seem like, and again, I don't think this is everywhere. I think the majority of the representation and inclusion that I'm seeing in media is more in this celebration space and like, you know, letting people kind of be more artistic and a wider bandwidth for that. It might not be as wide as it should be, but it's definitely wider. And I think it's still exceptional people that are like to the detriment of, you know, majority culture. But the AIDS commercial is an interesting, like, what is that, guys? It's medical. That affects everybody. That affects every population. Like there should be a glimpse or something. Like we should share the M&Ms.
Yeah.
You know, that seems strange to me, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, they could have just made a mistake, or maybe they hit the cut room floor. Like maybe they did film it. So I want to always like be generous in my spirit because I don't think it's good for my heart.
Sure.
To be like super suspicious. And now I see car accidents everywhere and I, you know, Yeah, I don't want to go in that direction either, just personally. I don't think that's healthy. But so to me, it does seem like, yes, it is possible for some type of overcorrection.
And we've seen that.
So there's that, there's that version of it. I was just also wondering, is there a point where you feel insulted? Like it's so... I mean, I wish I had, I feel like I've seen these. I've seen like the attempts of inclusion, but it's so over the top that it's like, you're just doing this because you're trying. It to me, the closest example is there's times where the Democratic Party is just like pandering to minority mm-hmm. voters. But I'm going, I don't think they care about the issue. they just want the money. They just want the vote. They'll say anything and just to get that bump on the mm-hmm. in the polls. Is there like a point where it's like, man, now we see through that, that's an insult? Or is it like, nah, you know, you're going to get some of that. It's just like any kind of marketing for any population.
Yeah,
it's marketing. That's what it is. So there's always a little bit of manipulation when marketing is in play, because they're just trying to get you to buy their crap. So that happens to white people. It happens to black people. It happens to everybody. So we don't necessarily feel no way about that. But I wouldn't call that inclusion. Or I guess sometimes I think it gets called inclusion, especially in the political realm. Like, you know, we're so diverse. We're so inclusive. But I'm like, I don't think you know, like, that's my suspicion a lot of times. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you don't care.
No, man, I know some of these people don't care. I see it. I'm like, this, you know, especially when you, you know, you hear sound bites. This is what I know, especially when you brought up politics. It's like, it's similar to... My brother said something. He used to always say something when we were in public or somewhere and something awkward or embarrassing happened. He would always be like, man, you ain't gonna see that person ever again in your life. Like, you ain't gonna really see that person ever again. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it. And that's what it feels like with politicians. They're just mm-hmm. like, okay, what is the one thing I need to say to establish messaging? And then I'm gone. And then I'm gonna go say mm-hmm. it to another batch of people, because it's mm-hmm. the thing to say. And you know, who's going to be following me all mm-hmm. the way, all to every, you know, every stop that I'm making. And so that I do know, like, when it comes to politics, there's just certain messaging that people have and they stick with it. It's like a script in their heads. And so can I trust that? Nah. Do I trust that? That means they're for inclusive type things. I'm like, I don't know about that. I gotta see mm-hmm. your track record and what you've done and what you... Now, I rarely can even look at what people plan to do, because once people get elected, we know things change.
Yeah.
So overcorrection. And can we trust it? Yeah, man, there's always overcorrections with things like this. I think inclusion is only made, it has very definite limitations. So
yeah,
that is my thing. It has very definite limitations. And I like having pop culture conversations with academics. So with a professor or with somebody who's done significant research, because that helps me correct the inaccuracies that come with pop culture. So it's similar. The best example I can think of is it's similar to the gender conversation. And so things that are happening with gender, even some of the academic things that are happening with gender, the conversation around that about what gender is, how many genders are there, it can seem like, man, like there's all these things, especially now when you talk about pop culture and what people are saying about gender, there's so many definitions, so many types of genders and things like that.
You know, we have all the pronouns has become a thing where it's like that's becoming normalized. But when you talk to somebody scientific, it's like for the measurements that we use in science of how to like categorize things and, and statistically how we use things that are like so anomalous that we can't include them as like scientific with scientific integrity, we can't include them as fact because the you know, when you apply some of those same principles to gender, even some people who believe in like the pop culture kind of pronouns, like strongly believe in that, like strongly, from a scientific standpoint, will say there's two genders, male and female, and there's drugs and procedures and things. Anesthetics, things that that's in the medical in the world that people use based on gender, that we that's based on two genders, not some other type, right? Not some in between. So when I think about that, that's maybe my best example to think about. Like, yeah, there's things that's happening in pop culture, but in the real world, when we try to go at it from academic with academic integrity, there's a correction to that thing that's happening in kind of social media, pop culture. And so with inclusion, I have to believe that, yeah, there's inclusion and representation that needs to happen, but it can't happen without good thinking and proper analysis of population, audience, what's true, what's right. So that you don't go to, you don't overdo it, right? And then it becomes like, oh, we're just not going to include this whole population of people. Or overemphasize a certain population of people to where it can get, it can get, it can get
South Parky.
It can get South Parky. It can, I feel like you can go that way where you do over representation where it just doesn't represent reality anymore.
I was also thinking about the limitations of inclusion representation where you don't go far enough. I also think this is part of the, some of the pop culture things that I feel are manipulative. Just so me actually putting my opinion out there to get canceled, it feels manipulative. If I like, you know, I'm a white dude. I'm not a black man, but sometimes I'm kind of like, man, you're putting a token out there. That's just a token. That's just like, that's you're just putting a face and you're using this black man as a face of something to signal something, to check a box. And they're not actually included. They're not actually a part of the thing. They're not being celebrated.
Yeah.
They're, you know, so it's not really inclusion. It is maybe representation in its most base form. But they don't really have a voice, or they don't have authority, or they don't have partnership. There's things that aren't really coming with that package.
Yeah.
And to me, when it's just that version, that does feel manipulative. That's where it's like, that's where you have the politicians up on a stage. They line a bunch of people up on stage to look a certain way. But I'm like, I'm pretty sure none of those people are going to be in the cabinet, or they're going to be involved in any kind of policymaking. They don't have any authority. All they are is a photo op. And when the photo op kind of phenomenon happens, I do feel, and so I have a reaction to that, you know.
Yeah.
Just having walked with so many people,
yep.
You know, minority cultures, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I feel very like you're trying to do something here. You're trying to manipulate a situation with a photographer. It's just that type of thing. That's where I'm like, yeah, the limitations of inclusion and representation. When you don't go hard enough, like you kind of need to go, it's like you're showing people the M&Ms, but you're not actually sharing any M&Ms, you know?
Yeah.
Like you let them hold the bag, but you let them eat any. Like that seems to be a limitation too. Obviously, the overcorrection where you snatch the M&Ms away from somebody else and don't let them have any more, to you let somebody hold the bag, take a picture, and then snatch it back. You know, and I do see that in the church world. I do see people kind of, taking steps towards multi-ethnicity. But what they mean by that is, you know, putting a Black person on stage, because it's still a staged event. It's still a photo op event for the most part.
And
what people mean by church is a staged production. That's primarily what it is in North America. And so then it's all about the photo ops. It's the optics of the situation.
Yep.
And I'm like, they're not on the board. They're not in the finance office. They're on stage for the picture show. And that stuff, I definitely have a reaction to. I don't like it. To me, I don't count that as inclusion, but I know that that's how oftentimes it gets talked about. Like, oh, we're inclusive, or multi-ethnic, or we're looking for more representation, and then I also know, I feel very, I've sat at a table with someone I looked up to, an author, and, she pretty excellent person from what I knew. And I say, hey, just thank you so much for your contribution to the church. And, we're from the underground or whatever. And she immediately pulled up the webpage and she was looking at the faces of the staff. Mm-hmm. And she was immediately judging us based on the faces of the staff.
Yeah.
And, I was like, that's interesting. I was like being put in that interesting place where I was like, you're going to like write us off or get along with us based on just like a photo opportunity, without knowing anything about the percentage of microchurches, the demographics of microchurches, the populations those are serving, the board isn't even on, the governing elders aren't on the photo. On staff photos. So it's like you're missing huge portions of our leadership structure. Anyways, that was also like a thing. I was like, so if I don't get the photo op correct to your standard, I'm going to get wrote off as like, you're just another racist organization. But if I just do the photo op, then like what does that say about the power structures, the systems? Like, are we actually sharing the M&Ms?
Yeah.
Type of stuff. And I'm not even saying like perfectly. I'm just saying like what we're doing. So that was an interesting experience I had along this vein of like the visuals, the media, the what you see, the website.
Why it's like it's a lot at stake. I think that's why people do the photo ops, because they know there's a lot at stake from the photo op. And this might have been 10 or so years ago, so it may be a bigger percentage, but percentage of, you would know this in campus ministry, is like the percentage of students that find you through Instagram is large. Mm-hmm. Like that's the front door that people are coming through. Mm-hmm. And so, what is Instagram other than like a photo album of who you are? And so, and I do that. So as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I go to a church's website and see who's on staff, and who's running it, to see what the power structures are, to see, what's at the top, which has everything to do with your hiring, your promoting, your development of people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now the underground, y'all have a conundrum in that you're not like a typical church, so how you're hiring and what you're hiring people for is not necessarily like to run and lead the church,
and even our power structures,
the people who are actually running the church is not pictured, and so that's what makes it hard. It's like, no, they got a picture of the nonprofit but not necessarily like the church that is being run. So that's the hard part about the underground. Yeah, I think that's the thing. Media matters. I think any person that's running an institution, that's building something, mm-hmm. that's building an organization understands media matters. And so that's why you have the photo op opportunities that come up. Yeah. I would say, in referencing one of our previous series, and I think that was maybe all of season two, but where we talked about the stranger, acquaintance, yeah, friend, family, mm-hmm. Stranger, acquaintance, teammate, family. Most churches are doing photos when folk are just strangers or acquaintances, mm-hmm. because it's really tough to get people into the teammate family, yeah, stage, which I think that's where you should actually be taken. Like, that's who you should be trying to either representing your team well or representing your family well with the photos, yeah, not just pandering to your audience. Mm-hmm. And then if the photos cannot represent what you're doing, then you got to depend on your ministry. Like, you what you're doing, mm-hmm. like when somebody comes and sees it, so they might see one thing online, but when they see it, when you do the video of the work that you're doing, right? Yeah. So when they can get, it's like one thing to see the staff, one thing to see, okay, let's see who's being served by the work. Mm-hmm. When they see that, that should represent who your teammate, family, people are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the photo op piece gets tough, man. That's just a tough reality that I think everybody has to deal with, but should represent your, like, how inclusive you are. Like, I do think it should. It's going to, mm-hmm. say something. There's some realities where it's like, this is the for the underground, it's like, yeah, your photos of the staff is going to be one thing, mm-hmm. and then the photos of the elders are going to be another. Mm-hmm. The photos of the micro church is going to be a total other thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And yep. So I would imagine, so if I had to use the underground as a test case, I would imagine that if that became a big problem, where it's like, oh, wait, we're missing some people just because they're looking at our staff, then I'm like, maybe we should consider putting our elders up because it's more representative of who we are. So that would be would be a case of where it's like, actually, you didn't go far enough. Right, you need to actually show what you truly are, mm-hmm. and so you put that up, but you don't overdo it, and it becomes pandering when it's like, okay, we just gonna go try to find the black folk, the few, right, black folk, the few Asian, right, folk, the few Native folk, whoever it is, the few people of color,
yep,
that we serve, yeah, and we're gonna put them in front and center. This is That's where it gets ridiculous. And in fact, organization, I mean, in the varsity, we always checking them. So, you know, there's departments that will check the national organization as far as where representation goes, because we want to do it in a way that's actually healthy and representative of who we are. So yeah, man, that overcorrection or that not going far enough, I think is important. I think for churches, so those in the missional space who are trying to be missional, who are trying to go, there's a way in which you're trying to do something and representing your way that is helps you be more palatable for the people that you're reaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that never should that media be part of your strategy for making yourself palatable. It should be the missional work that you're doing. So, mm-hmm. instead of finding the black person and taking a picture of them, train the black person, mm-hmm. be like, in the name of Jesus, be good friends and build a relationship towards teammate and family. And when you're in the teammate family place, then you go, right?
Then you take a picture.
Yeah. And that's just going to create more roots. And because what I'm thinking is,
oh, totally,
a picture just says we care about it. When you train, when you walk with somebody, whether you bring them in and they're coming at a high position,
yeah,
even then, even if somebody comes at a high position, they're still kind of in a stranger acquaintance, and yes, it takes some time for them to become a teammate. So I'm even saying when they come in from a high position, you still need to wait and take your time. So don't just put somebody on staff and then take the picture and say, like, we're here. Because who knows, in 3 months, that person might realize, y'all racist as heck, I'm out, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, whoever that person, if they come from the top, if they come as a colleague, at a peer, if they coming as somebody who you're developing, what I'm saying is build them up, because what I am assuming, or what I am saying should happen, is as you develop them, as they are working through those stages of being a stranger, then acquaintance, then teammate and family, they're going to influence you and your thinking.
Yes, yes.
They're going to influence the organization. They're going to influence your policies, your strategies. And when that happens, now you're becoming more, you're becoming what your audience needs. So that diverse mm-hmm. audience mm-hmm. that you're trying to include, they don't only need somebody that looks like them. They don't only need a token.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah.
So they need, because somebody could be in, so this is just a side nugget. Somebody could be in high level leadership and mm-hmm. still be a token to the audience that you're reaching, because they look mm-hmm. at that person, they think, oh, they represent a reality that this place is great for me. But if you not have done, if you haven't done the groundwork to create the systems and structures and culture that can welcome them in so that they mm-hmm. can thrive, then that person just serves as a token. Even if they're, you know,
yeah.
they're in a leadership position, and they're managing mm-hmm. people or mm-hmm. managing things. If they're managing a structure and culture that does not help people fit and thrive and create mm-hmm. an ecosystem that allows people to thrive, then that person still can just be a token. But when you develop them, when you actually include them and they become teammate, family, and they've influenced, and not just them, but, you know, maybe multiple people, mm-hmm. when they've mm-hmm. influenced, you create an environment for inclusion, not just representatives that say you include them, but you create an environment that nurtures inclusion. And so that's one of the things that I think is just really important, that you bring somebody up and they develop and they influence, because it's not just about the person. And that's what a photo op does. It makes it about a person mm-hmm. when you haven't given yourself the chance to do all the other work that is good yeah. for you and good for the people that you serve.
Yep. Yep. Well, man, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. 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 No, that was good. That's fun, bro.
So basically, I think what we're saying, just to sum it all up, is Wakanda forever.
Hey, Wakanda forever. And you are definitely the, what is it, the FBI guy? Yes, welcome to
Wakanda. I'm allowed in.
I appreciate y'all diving in with us, listening to this conversation on inclusion. When we do it right, we allow God to mature us, and we're better together at the end of the day. Hey, if you haven't, again, please go ahead and subscribe. We would love to have y'all follow us so that you can get alerts when our new episodes drop. They drop weekly. Also, just from me, Brad Everett, and my friend and family, my brother Jeremy Stevens, a big thank you. Thank you for listening. It means a lot. And we are grateful that we get to be on this journey with Jesus to do what you need to do. Do what we all need to do to keep making art from debris. I'll check y'all out next time.